The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, we have Mr. Hassan Godwin.
Yay.
And we also have, in the studio, filmmaker Lee Klinsky.
All right.
On this week's show, at C2E2, I interview Comic Book for Kids' founder, Mark Weiss.
We didn't get the invite to C2E2, Mark.
No.
Why weren't we there?
Because I wasn't in charge of the invite. I just drove.
No!
Did you want to drive 14 hours?
I would have driven.
Really?
I would have gladly driven.
Okay. Just want the deep dish pizza, man.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even want to go to the show. I just want the pizza.
So on this week's show, at C2E2I, meaning Mark, interview Comic Book for Kids' founder, Mark Weiss, and L-Man Jamie Feldy interviews filmmaker George Taramas, T-A-R-A-M-A-S. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the news.
It's Morphin' Time!
The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi
for your Wi-Fi.
As well as the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, which we are the official radio show of, celebrating with 26, 7, 8, 9 years of comicness and pop culture stuff. What? For more information. What? This is like the first time you're hearing me say this?
No.
What?
It's just funny. Oh. It's all. You can't hear me laugh on the phone.
Oh, is that it? Okay. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. The next convention is scheduled all the way in November the 21st. Tickets are not on sale right now. Also, want to give a shout-out for our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Newsday famous Risen Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasin Array, The Hurricane, and Millie Portes. If you want to have your own little shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Little button under it takes you right to our Patreon page. Also, on the It Came From Radio website, there's my book, Designated, a book about two warring alien races fighting over a new discovered power source. War finds its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1 is on sale right now, and issue 2, depending on how well we go, will be out this month.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Well,
Please stand by.
Here's some behind the scenes. The printer needs 10 business days to have it ready for MCON, which is on the 25th. That means that the cover needs to be ready by the 10th, the absolute latest. Today,
the 10th of April.
Yes. And today, as of the day of recording, is the 5th of April, and the cover is still not ready. So, we're not sure if it's going to make it or not, but...
Good vibes. You need good vibes.
But it will be ready for Free Comic Book Day, which we will be having a signing for at Mid-Island Collectibles in the Broadway Mall on May the 2nd. Hmm. So, it will be within a month coming out, so we're close enough.
And you're doing the signing, right?
Yeah, we're doing the signing. Just
you're autographing and taking photos?
We're autographing, and I know Jen's going to be taking photos. Elman and Jenny Feldy, who's the cover model for our cover, will be there signing
the
autographs.
Author. I hope you take some photos with
people.
Yeah,
you should take some photos.
Nice. Sure. If you guys listening want to take a photo with me, more power to you. I'll take a photo with you. Why not?
Take a photo with Mark. Anyone listening?
That's right.
So now, especially because he's uncomfortable about it.
I belong in a museum.
So as always, we start off with the sad news. We have a couple of bits of sad news for this week's show. We have actress Lorraine Daphne Bailey died recently as of this recording. No cause of death has been announced. While she was in a handful of movies and TV shows, Lorraine was perhaps best known for her role of Faye Hudson for 48 episodes of the British series Neighbors, Jennifer Carson in 184 episodes of the British series Carson's Law, and for... 594 episodes of the British series The Sullivans as Grace Sullivan.
So she was Australian.
Was dating not. Yes, sure. British, yes, she was Australian. Sure, why not? She was 89. So moving on.
Canadian? Was she Canadian?
Man. So moving on for the more sad news. Actor and martial artist Carlos Rey Chuck Norris also died recently. I did not know his name was Carlos. Following
either.
A sudden undisclosed medical emergency. While appearing in a handful of movies and TV shows, Chuck is perhaps best known for being Chuck Norris. One thing about growing up at a certain people of a certain age, I remember Chuck Norris as being Chuck Norris, right? And that they made a big stink about him being a martial artist, that he was an action guy, and then he did infomercials, and I had found out as I was growing up that he was the guy that fought Bruce Lee
in the movie.
Yeah. But I didn't know that was him because he didn't have the facial hair. So I was like, oh, that's that guy. I didn't make the connection because I was a little kid watching it. And so when I saw Chuck Norris, I always felt that he was kind of lackluster for being Chuck Norris because his finishing move was a slow motion jump kick to beat the bad guys. And I remember everybody was making a big stink about Chuck Norris. I'm like, oh, I got to see Chuck Norris in this movie. Went to the theaters to see The Hero and the Terror, which was him versus the guy who played Jaws.
Wow.
And I went to see this movie. I'm a kid.
Yeah.
I'm all excited. Yeah. And I'm watching this. I'm like, he's not doing anything.
Chuck Norris was an amazing athlete, and he was a guy who was really serious about the craft and respect. He had a lot of respect for the other champions in the genre.
Right.
But he was not a great actor.
Well,
he had basically one expression for every emotion. But he was in the scariest movie I ever saw when I was a kid.
What was that?
Silent Rage. That movie destroyed me when I was a child.
What was the synopsis? Quick synopsis.
Synopsis is there was this guy he caught in the very beginning, and the cops killed him because he was just too tough for everybody. And then he went to the hospital and ran, and rogue doctors pumped him up with this stuff that made him into Wolverine or more like Michael Myers.
Okay.
And he could not be killed, and he healed instantly, but he was also mute. And he would just randomly murder people, and he was gigantic. He was like, I think, 7 feet tall, and he just scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Huh. Wow, I forgot about
that. And then
that
ending was like, oh, he got him. He saved him. He destroyed the bad guy. Huh. Oh, no, he didn't. That was the classic horror movie ending.
That's so funny. I forgot about that movie completely.
Yeah, it is free on YouTube, by the way. So when you get home...
I don't need to see that one again. You know, I think I saw it... When was it? The 1980s or something?
It was 80, yeah. It was easy 80s. It was amazing 80s.
Right. And Chuck Norris isn't dead. He leveled up, right?
Yes. I'm sorry. We're not supposed to talk about that, though.
He got bored on Earth and went to the next plane.
He's fighting the Viltrumites now.
Right, exactly.
The last thing I want to mention is that, as like I said, I just knew of Chuck Norris, and I was overwhelmingly disappointed with seeing Chuck Norris, right?
Mm.
And there was a crossover on his very famous TV show called Walker, Texas Ranger.
Walker, Texas Ranger, yes.
Yeah.
Where he teamed up with Sammo Hung, who was working with Jackie Chan at the time, back in the day, and he had his own show called Martial Law. Which I used to love seeing Martial Law, seeing Sammo Hung, who people who don't know is a large stature man, doing ninja flip style kung fu things all over the place.
Yep.
So they had a crossover, Martial Law, Walker, Texas Ranger, where each character swapped on the other guy's show.
Like,
and they had the finale where both Sammo Hung and Chuck Norris are fighting all the bad guys. And you see Sammo Hung doing flips and this and that, and Chuck Norris is going, "Ugh." I'm like, oh, come on, man. So that solidified. That's
Zatu Ichi versus Sanjuro. Or Zatu Ichi meets Sanjuro. Which was basically like two huge samurai classics at the time.
Right.
They came face to face. And every time we do this, like the war with Jet Li,
yes,
and
Jason Statham.
And Jason Statham. They never really
super disappointed in that one too.
Yes, because they can't. Both of their reputations are so high. They're such at a level that you can't actually risk one's reputation by letting one overpower the other.
Like with Vin Diesel and The Rock, when they in their contracts,
they can't,
had to have the same amount of punches and recovers. Yeah,
they can't. Yeah. So those fights are never really satisfying, but it is a cool piece of nostalgia. It's a cool piece of trivia.
Yes. So he was 86. So moving on for the last bit of sad news.
Rough couple of weeks. Yeah.
TV host Chiquita Renee Shepherd, known professionally as Kiki Shepherd, also died recently from a heart attack.
Wow. Her name was Chiquita?
Her name was Chiquita. See, this is like,
wow.
Carlos and Chiquita. Like, who knew that? She was best known for being a co-host on Showtime at the Apollo from 1987 to 2002.
They called her affectionately Black Vanna White.
Yes. that was like the highlight of the show.
Yes.
Beyond the theme song, because I love the
Showtime.
Showtime
at the Apollo.
Yeah, that was
Showtime
great.
At the Apollo tonight.
And all those stars that they had in the first season, but like then... Like, during the 6th or 7th season, you never saw a stars of that caliber anymore. I'm sorry.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I've got nothing but negative things to say today. I'm very sorry.
The intro was great. I always fell asleep because it was on so late.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why it was like,
1:30. Yeah, it was after,
after Saturday Night Live.
Right after Saturday Night Live or after something that was after Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it was like maybe the Honeymooners. I don't remember.
Yeah, something was like way, something in it was really late.
But
we stayed up to watch it.
Kiki
Shepherd, like, hey.
Yeah, Kiki Shepherd.
That's so funny.
Chiquita Shepherd. No wonder she turned it into Kiki.
So she was 74. So that's it for our sad news. So with that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more. It came from the radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Hello there, this is Jan Chappell, who plays Callie in Blake 7, and I'm checking in to It Came From the Radio.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hi guys, this is Xenia Seberg, who plays Zev on the show Lex, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
BKG Productions, LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content. Specializing in professional audio editing, I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Me Grimlock having fun on It Came From the Radio.
Me Greg Berger also.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Hi, folks. Andy Robinson here. And like all the good things in life, it came from the radio. Thank you.
CradleCon returns to the Cradle of Aviation Museum May 16th and 17th. This year features a G.I. Joe reunion with Larry Hama, plus the Crow creator James O'Barr, comics, cosplay, retro gaming, and more, all supporting the museum's education programs. Tickets are at cradleofaviation.org.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio. The official Lee McCampo-Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. Along with Mr. Hassan, who's been insulting me the entire time
during
the break this video.
I'm
as well
stop.
As filmmaker Lee Klinsky.
I didn't
Who did not insult me at all.
Not insulting Mark at all.
Because Hassan is making up for all the times he has not been in the studio. during the
you
break.
Over the phone quite
yeah, but
quite a
I didn't hear you. Know?
I see.
All right, so moving on. Shots fired! For the not as sad news, from the... Ready, Brian? No, Brian's not ready. From the...
That's a lot of nuts!
There we go. We are live on tape.
Someone made a lot of money. Who made the money? Show me the money, Mark.
One more time. From the...
That's a lot of nuts!
Department. The new sci-fi film project Hail Mary was held on to the number one spot in the domestic box office, pulling in an additional $54 million in ticket sales in its second week of release, beating out the new animated film Hoppers, which came in at the number two spot, making an additional $12.1 million in its third week of release.
Good for Andy Weir.
For those of you keeping track, the aforementioned Project Hail Mary is now the highest grossing film of this year, so far, with $186.5 million, followed by Avatar, with $404.2 million, of which $153.8 million was this year. So, have you seen Hail Mary?
Have not. Yeah, I like Andy Weir. I kind of like the guy who's in the movie.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. I just haven't, I mean, I've been having a week, so, I haven't been able to get to the movies. Sure. You know, I have read the book, and Andy Weir is the guy who wrote The Martian, which was another phenomenon. Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that his legend continues, that's pretty good. I'm happy for him on that.
Lee, movie? No
yeah,
movie?
No, I saw it. Yeah.
You saw it,
yeah,
and?
I saw it. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was a little long for me, but overall, I thought it was good. The character, as Ryan Gosling, as the main guy, was pretty good. I didn't feel like he was like, he wasn't a tough guy, which was kind of cool. It wasn't like, yeah, I'm going to space, you know? It was like,
what I've seen in the commercials, he didn't really want to go.
No, they're like, you know, we're dragging you up there. We don't care what you're doing. You know, you're helping us.
Yeah. Reluctant astronaut. That's new.
Right.
That's a new one.
I mean, there was a lot of holes in there that we were kind of like, you know, why can't you do this? And so, you know, whatever. Right. But it was a good movie.
They didn't science the heck out of this one, apparently.
Apparently. Right? You're kind of like, you know, all right, this is, you got to suspend disbelief a little bit, but it was a good movie.
So you contributed to the money right there. See, good job. That was
tribute.
I didn't.
Yes, me and my other people and family kind of contributed.
Your people? I didn't know you had an entourage.
I had an entourage. Yeah.
He took his people to
I
see
my
the
people.
Film.
Did you have to make reservations for your people and call up the people to get you in there?
Well, you have to assign your seat, right? At certain theaters.
Darn you people.
It is the reservation.
I don't want to tell you people again.
Right.
Go see Hail Mary.
I have yet to see either one. I haven't seen Avatar yet. I'm getting on it.
My goodness.
I actually have to watch the Hudsucker Proxy before I watch
Avatar. Is like free
Avatar.
Everywhere now.
Well, so is the Hudsucker Proxy.
Why do you have to see Hudsucker Proxy?
Because Hassan and I had an agreement that he has to watch a movie and I have to watch a movie.
Well,
and
don't watch that one.
Well, then I won, right? Weren't we supposed to have seen... Yeah. Whatever.
Did you see it? You
I
didn't
don't
see
even remember
it.
What movie
he
I was supposed,
supposed
to
see.
Watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Boy Kills World, Hassan.
Boy Kills World.
Oh, that was good, actually. I think that's, I saw that.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Well, he didn't see Hudsucker Proxy.
But I will, so
yeah,
we have time.
I don't know if that's a good
Whoa.
I know it's like what, Coen Brothers, right, and the whole thing?
I don't know anything
yes,
about Hudsucker Proxy.
Coen
All I know
Brothers.
Is that it has Tim Robbins on the cover box, and he looks like he's falling somewhere.
No.
Or holding a hula hoop or
he's
something.
There were
hula
fun
hoop.
Parts in that movie, and I do remember.
Some
that.
Parts?
I just remember the cover box when I used to work at Blockbuster for 10 years, just staring at my face. Hudsucker Proxy, Hudsucker Proxy. I was like, yeah.
I had that same
it's a brilliant movie.
Picture embedded in my
yeah,
brain.
See? Because yeah. he's also...
It's a brilliant movie.
Okay.
All right, brilliant? Okay.
It's brilliant, darn it. I don't want to have this conversation again.
Moving on. Actually, I wonder if this will make... Actually, no, it wouldn't make because it didn't come out this year. Because I'm
what?
Like, I could be like either the best or worst that we've seen this year, but it didn't come out this
no,
year.
No, it did not come out this year.
Anyways.
No,
it didn't even come out 10 years ago. It's been a while.
Did you see The Big Lebowski?
Yes, I saw The Big Lebowski.
Did you like The Big Lebowski?
I did like The Big Lebowski.
Then you, the same people, right. made Hudsucker.
Yeah, you might like it then.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Moving on. Let's see. From the, if you like the show, read the comic department. None other than Marvel has announced that they will debut a new Wonder Man in comics who will be black, more closely related to the on-screen representation of Wonder Man series
so
on Disney+. His first appearance is on the cover of Reborn, The Ultimate Impact, due out in May of this year. Did you guys see the new Wonder Man series, Hassan?
I did not.
Did not
it's
see
on
it.
My list of things to see because I'm surprisingly a lot of people who I wouldn't have expected to even watch it, and it, for no other reason than it was just a Disney
right.
plus Marvel show.
Yeah.
Have seen it, and they said, oh, it's really good. We really like it. So, you know, I'm like, all right.
Did you see it, Lee?
I haven't seen it. I heard it started off slow, but is good. But I don't know. I'm kind of on Marvel burnout a little bit, so I haven't really been watching too much of
so
that stuff.
So I saw it. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good, but it wasn't a Marvel show. That was the problem with me. Like, I want to go see a Marvel show. I want to see Pow Zap Bang, you know.
And nobody Pow Zapped or banged?
Not really. There was not a lot of Pow Zapping or banging. Very, very low on the Pow
well,
Zap Bang.
Well, now I'm not going to see it.
Drama,
but
right?
The drama was good. The acting was good. The chemistry was great. And if it was self-contained, it would have been an amazing piece of artwork. But because it's tied to the Marvel Universe, I felt like it was lacking. So it's a weird... weird balance of what I got.
You are a victim of your own expectation, though. That's the problem.
This is also true, but as you are very well aware, I don't watch the trailers, so I came in cold. The only thing I knew about is that he's a black guy instead of a white guy, and I was like, why did they make him a black guy? And they really didn't address it. It was just, he's just a black guy. Okay, and we moved on. It was just like when Michael B. Jordan was a Human Torch. I was like, why did they make him black? And they was like, hey, he's adopted. It's like, all right, we moved on. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, if only that was a good movie, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would have.
That's another thing.
That would have been a thing. That would they could have made that a thing. Yeah. You didn't see what I was saying.
We got it? We don't have
that on purpose.
All right, let's see if we can do
Fantastic Four movie.
This
I
one.
Liked the recent one. I didn't mind that one.
Yeah, that was the best one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, of all the Fantastic Four movies, of which now it is a genre in and of itself, that was the best one they'd made.
This
and it was slick. It was nice. It was pretty.
Fourth
was,
one.
That's true.
Huh? No, the fifth one.
It's,
right? The fifth Fantastic Four movie.
It's
Roger Corman.
Roger.
The
yeah.
two Hot Jessica Alba
yeah.
ones. The one that had Miles
yes.
Teller.
Right,
and
yeah.
And then this one. Yeah, it's five.
Yeah,
so
five.
This is the fifth
That's what
first
I'm saying.
Movie.
It's a genre in and of itself at this point.
Although I do have guilty pleasures on the other ones with, like, the Chris Evans ones. And, you know, like, those
right.
I thought were... I'll watch those again, you know, even right. though I didn't think
Fair
they
enough.
Were the best.
All right, so let's see what we got. We have enough time. All right, so moving on. From the Barbie Nightmare Fest department.
Oh, wow.
The
Specialty
Mattel.
Department.
The Mattel, quote, sanctioned Barbie Dream Fest happened recently. The event was promoted as the ultimate Barbie fan fest with a real life-size Barbie Dream House, a neon-filled 1980s roller disco, photo ops with Serena Williams, Angel Reese, Marley Matlin, and, quote, stars of the Netflix animated series Barbie Life in a Dream House, and others. Tickets started at $149 for adult admission and went all the way up to $449 with the higher-priced tickets including a swag bag. Based on social media photos and videos, turns out that while some of the celebrities did appear, the rest of the event was held in a, quote, sparsely filled warehouse, complete with a 2D cardboard cutout of a pink Volkswagen bus parked out front representing the Dream House. Of note, guests were not allowed inside the vehicle. The roller disco was a penned-off area at the center's concrete floors with metal beams forming a tent, but no canvas overhead and a small disco ball. And the swag bag contained a plastic pouch with a bottle of Barbie-branded hand sanitizer. While full refunds were given to all attendees who asked for it, nowhere on the website or social media reflects that information. Mattel says Barbie's Dream Fest was created by Mischief Management, which licensed the Barbie brand from Mattel. We are working with Mischief Management, who are managing attendee feedback and issuing full refunds to anyone who purchased tickets.
Wait.
We want every fan experience to be an excellent one.
Working with who? Wait, who are they working with?
Mischief Management.
Oh, not Mischief Managerial.
Mischief Management says Barbie's Dream Fest was created as an intimate fan convention designed to foster meaningful connections, inspiration, and closer access to Barbie and her world. We will provide full refunds to everyone who purchased tickets.
Oh.
So this isn't the first time something like this has happened. We've talked about Gene Wilder, Oompa Loompas,
Willy Wonka
and the Chocolate Factory. They had an event, and it was just a disaster. Most famously, the Fire Fest. Was a big deal.
Yeah,
but this,
Fire Fest
if you look
bad.
At the pictures all those, and yeah. all that stuff, it looked pretty bad. And what I found fun, because I did my research on this, they had invited influencers, and they had videos and pictures, and they tried to make it look as good as possible with their influencing stuff, but I've been to some pretty bad conventions, so I know how to make a bad convention look like it's not a bad convention. And they were doing a worse job than I usually do with that sort of thing. So it looked pretty bad.
So it was just supposed to be like a variety show, like a
The convention event for fans of Barbie, and they had all this stuff. And
for Barbie dolls or Barbie the movie?
Fans of Barbie dolls.
Just in general.
Yes, general fans of Barbie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no one showed up because no one was...
Right, no one showed up, no one paid the tickets.
Where does this take place?
So, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Hand sanitizer they had,
got a Barbie hand sanitizer, which is, quote, you could have gotten for $1 at the dollar store.
Should have done it in California.
It's a crazy situation, and I would say that there's three different types of events, versions of an event that happens. It's the event organizers that make the convention. It's the people who are there vendoring, and it's the attendees. I've seen all different types. So, I mean, if you go to a convention, which is a quote-unquote bad convention, you can go there and have an amazing experience because you have access to everybody and everything is great. But then the vendor's like, we didn't make any money, and the organizer's like, we didn't make any money. So it's very weird how this happened, and the fact that it was sanctioned by Barbie made it a very interesting thing.
Yeah, hey, it makes it a controversial thing.
Which celebrities showed up, I guess, is the question.
Well, Serena Williams did show up, and she did make a speech, but now she has not been talking about it ever since.
Well, yeah.
So we're almost out of time. So what did you think of the Barbie Fire Fest, and do you have any final thoughts?
I was supposed to go. But it didn't, you know? And I'm kind of glad I didn't go now that no one went. And that's my final thought on that.
Lee?
Yeah, I'm okay with not going to that. That's fine.
How excited could that be? How many? I was like, oh, there's a doll. And there's another doll. And
but it wasn't even a doll. It was a cutout, cardboard cutout.
That's what I'm saying.
An empty warehouse with like little stations.
Yeah, you're not
going to
get anything. Like, it's not even vintage stuff where you could find old.
No.
No. Have something for the fans if you want fans to be there.
So that is it for this segment of the show. So anybody listen to us on the air, we'll see you next time. For everybody else, stay tuned for more. It Came From the Radio.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. I'm here live on tape on day number 2 of C2E2 in Chicago. I drove all the way to Chicago for a completely different reason, but I'm here with these great guys who I met in 2020, and they're still going strong, and they're bigger than ever. It is the Comic Books for Kids, and I'm here with Mark Weiss.
Hey, everybody.
And I'm here with Michelle...
Weiss.
Oh, well...
I haven't changed my last name yet, but...
So, why don't you just quickly tell us what is Comic Books for Kids about, and how has it changed from when I first met you guys 6 years ago, which I cannot believe, to now?
Listen, Mark, thank you so much, and hello, everybody. So... our mission is to provide comic books and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. We started with humble beginnings, just thinking that we were going to do this part-time and provide these materials to a few hospitals. And, Mark, I think when we met, it was 2020, right?
2020, just before the pandemic hit. It was the week before. It was an amazing, my first time ever in Chicago, and that's why I remembered you, because you were so friendly, so kind, so nice. It was a really cool idea. I was like, wow, this is really cool, but I'm like, I'm all the way in New York. I'm not really sure what we can do, but I have you in the back of my head. So, yes, it was that long ago.
Well, the reason I was so nice is I knew that 6 years in the future you were going to interview us, so I decided I better be nice right now. But, you know, our goal and our mission was to provide comic books to kids in every state of the country. We had started in 2017 as a charity. We were growing. We really didn't get going to 2018, 2019. So when you really met us, it was, I want to almost say, our formative years. We really had a very small booth, a very small table with just a few comics and trying to raise money. And thanks to the support of incredible people like you and the people who are listening to your show, we're now the largest charity in the industry and literally in the world for comic books and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. We support over 200 hospitals in all 50 states. We support Canada, multiple provinces in Canada, and we opened up a branch in the UK where even though Michelle and I are on the board and we're the executives, obviously, we have individual volunteers run it. But we never expected the outpouring of support to be as wonderful and as incredible as it is. And that, again, that's a compliment to people like you who have helped promote us as well as the people who are listening.
So, go ahead.
We started in a 10x10 as well. It was in a storage unit, 10x10 storage unit. And I remember me and my dad were packing boxes, we were tripping over each other because this, you know, the storage unit was so tiny. And I never thought it would grow to be what it is today because of the support from the entire industry. And now we've been able to move out of a 10x10, and our boxes have become much bigger now. We've been able to put so many more things in those boxes because of the support. So it's been a really great experience from the beginning and to see where we are now.
So why comics? Why not, I don't know, sandwiches or... Why comics? What was the genesis of comics for kids?
So, for those of you who, you know, this is a radio show, but I'm in my 60s. Michelle's going to be 20 forever. And I've enjoyed comics my whole life. And the thought was, as I was getting ready to retire, I would pare down my collection, and I was trying to find hospital or another organization like ours just to give these to so that we could make a difference and give them to kids in hospitals. Unfortunately, what I found as I went on Google is I could not find another organization that did this. Now, my conclusion clearly was that my Google search skills were abysmal because I felt that there had to be somebody doing this, but there just wasn't. So we figured we would start this, and again, remember I said I was retired. So the thought was, I'm going to play a little God of War, a little Witcher 3 for like the seventh time, and maybe do some exercise and just do this one or two days a week for a couple hours. And that was really the thought, Mark, never ever expecting this to become the wonderful thing it has morphed into. For those who are listening, yeah, the exercise went, that quit, that never happened, and... the gaming has taken a back seat because we probably do this 60 hours a week in between packing boxes to kids in hospitals and, you know, responding to the wonderful people who help support us.
Can you talk a little bit about the process of how the comics come in? Because if people can donate comics, is there like a guideline? Is there like a process where it has to go through before it gets to the hospitals? Or you just take it in and it goes right back out?
We started getting materials for the kids, and all of a sudden we're getting a lot of Wolverine. And now all of a sudden I've got Wolverine popping claws through somebody's head, and we're thinking, okay, what do we do with that? Because we certainly don't want to provide that to children. So we started a sister charity a few years ago called Comic Book for Troops. It's still within our umbrella. We're a 501c3, meaning we're a full IRS charity. And for those of you who may not be aware of the legal gobbledygook, it means we can provide a donation receipt to anyone who donates. So we have a sister charity called Comic Book for Troops. People who donate can just take whatever they want, put it in a box, ship it to us. They don't even need to bag and board it. And we can get it to the troops or we can get it to the kids. We go through everything to make sure that, you know, it's appropriate. We don't deal with mature comics. That's the one thing we stay away from. If somebody says, well, I don't have comics, but I'd love to give you about $300,000 cash, we promise that we will graciously accept it. We may protest just a tiny bit, but not for too long.
So, final question. How did you transition, well, not transition, I guess expand from just comics to Funko Pops toys? Like, was that an idea that it was in the back of your head, we want to do more, or is it just, let's do comics?
I remember I was talking to my dad, and we were going through the comics, and he goes, what if we could get Funko to donate some stuff, you know, because, you know, kids love the Funko Pops. No way, Dad. Funko Pops? I mean, I collect Funko Pops, but there's no way we're going to be able to get Funko. And I don't, you reached out, and they responded, and...
And all of a sudden, Funko starts sending us cases and cases of Funko Pops, and people started responding. So then we thought, well, this is kind of cool. What if we created and morphed into basically comic shop in a box, if you will? And so what we try to do is recreate in a box the kids in hospitals what they might see in a comic shop. On Halloween, we actually have Halloween comics because the industry would do Halloween Comic Fest. So we have Halloween books that we will ship out to the kids. So we're really just, I mean, think back about Loot Crate, you know, years ago.
So expand that dramatically. Our boxes are 30 pounds now, and coloring books, toys, action figures, T-shirts, Legos now, obviously comics, graphic novels. It has really morphed into, as I said, the comic shop in a box concept.
So, I guess, what is the future? Where are you planning to go? Are you going to be a global conglomerate of a charity organization? What's the plan?
The moon is next. We are going to be the first charity on the moon. We're working on that's just a wonderful question. You know, this organization has just evolved just organically, I guess is the right way of saying it. So we never really know where this goes. We respond to the needs of the hospital, and if any of your listeners say, hey, you know what might be fun is what if you added, I mean, here we added Pez a couple years back. Some hospitals accept candy, some don't. But someone would say, hey, what have you thought about this? We respond to our followers and the people who make suggestions to us with anything that might be fun. If another country reached out to us and was willing to do this, we would absolutely continue the global work. You know, we want to make a difference for kids in hospitals. So where this goes, again, if you had told us where we would be today when we met you 6 years ago, none of us expected this.
All right, so where can people find out more? Where the website, all that fun stuff? Where can they donate, all that stuff? Go.
So our organization is called Comic Book for Kids, but everybody knows us as CB4K. That's the letter C for comic, letter B for book, the number 4, and the letter K for kids. So CBNumber4K.org. And from there on that website, you can see a little bit about what we're donating. You can see what's going to hospitals. You can make donations, be it PayPal, be it Venmo, be it Cash App, be it check. Or you just reach out to us and say hello. We're always happy to say hello to any of our followers.
We're on Facebook and Instagram as well, so feel free to message us. And you'll be talking to me on Instagram or Facebook. So.
Do you have any final thoughts?
No, it's just I mean, this has been really great. This whole show has been great. I don't come from this industry, so it's been amazing. Everyone's so nice to work with. So this has just been a great experience for me.
All right, so guys, make sure you go check them out. It's Comic Books for Kids. It's a really great organization, and I hope to see them in New York so I can don't have to travel and drive 12 hours to come down and do an interview. So with that, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with more It Came From the Radio.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe, and I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
I spent 15 years in the TV and film industry. The more successful I got at editing and producing other people's movies, the more I neglected my own. I decided to change that. 5 years of writer's block, 4 screenplays abandoned. Then one night, an idea showed up and wouldn't leave. Now I'm writing a feature. Dark, strange, mine. Hollywood doesn't want you to make their own films. They want you to ask for permission. But I'm not asking for permission. I'm building it myself, one page at a time. That was my crappy impersonation of the guest of the today. He's a reality TV editor, film editor, much more. He's a new dad. He's a filmmaker. He's a very talented guy. He does some of my favorite editing. Not that I'm God and, you know, decide who's a great editor, but Bravo thinks he's one of the best editors. So he obviously, you know, knows a thing or two about a thing or two. He's the head of Night Drive Productions, George Taramis. For people who've been sleeping under a rock, who are you?
Thank you. Thank you. That was a really good impression, by the way.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think you covered all of it. I'm a independent filmmaker, and I'm a working reality TV and a film editor. That's the bread and butter of the stuff that I work on is editorial. I cut Bravo shows. I've done a couple of Netflix shows and Travel Channel shows. And I also have been filmmaking since I dropped out of college 20 years ago.
Oh, so, wow. I didn't know you dropped out of college. Well, speaking of that, because, you know, some people nowadays, I think it's becoming more trendy to be like, college is a scam. And I've thought that for years, and it's a business. And, you know, if you're going to be a dentist, you got to go to college. But college, it might be a scam. So speaking of, you know, for people who have dropped out of college and aren't aware of Microsoft and other companies, you created the first film that I ever saw made by someone I knew. We went to high school together, and it's called Demented. And yep. I thought it was so incredible. The lead actress was beautiful and sexy, and she was engaging. And I was like, I'm not gay, but I can understand, you know, people switching for this girl. And it was really just so well done. And I was in D.C. teaching workout classes, and I, you know, I did some Fox 5 news stuff and, you know, Avon and live events, but I was not in the film industry at all. And I thought this was so cool. I'm like, how did they do this? So, yeah, Demented was a really cool short film. You did it, what, 2009-ish? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, 2010. Actually.
Okay.
And I got to give credit to my partner on that movie, Michael Russo. The year before that, we made a super ultra low budget feature film that was really bad. It was so bad that Bloody Disgusting called it the worst movie of 2009.
I got to see this.
I try to scrub it from the internet. It's pretty bad. But I'll say this. I actually found a stack of DVDs, and I'm thinking about remastering it. Because that was the first thing that I did.
Right.
When I dropped out of college, got a regular job, bought a camera, and just started shooting.
But
that was my film school. You know, I emptied the bank account, teamed up with Mike. And we shot this feature film, super low budget. And it was fun, but I learned a lot. But I was so gut punched by Bloody Disgusting, the website that I read every day. They find cover, you know, our movie, and just completely dragged it through hell. I was really upset for a while. I actually was considering not making movies anymore. And then I had that moment to myself. I think I was like driving at night. That's what I do to get ideas.
Night drive.
And it's cool visuals.
Yes, it is.
I was like, you know what? I could level up. And that's what me and Mike did with Demented. We were like, all right, let's do something shorter and let's like really dial it in and make something really good. Funny enough, Dread Central saw the trailer for it. It's a short film, but I was like, okay, let's make a trailer. Dread Central somehow saw the trailer and like wrote about it and like how cool of a trailer it was. Then Bloody Disgusting writes, "Hey, look, the Night of the Living Heads guys just made a really cool looking film." It just kind of came full circle. So
you know what though, for comeback stories, I love a comeback. I wonder if you would have tried as hard if you didn't have your ego gut punch so badly, would you have tried that hard to make Demented and all your other films if you weren't like, oh, I'm a freaking loser?
It's a good question. I don't have a crystal ball, but who knows? Like, I really was feeling like crap. I internalize a lot of stuff. Like, I could be going through hell and you just wouldn't know it. I just got a thick skin or whatever. So it speaks to like something I've kind of been, a message I've kind of been making with some of the videos I've been posting on my YouTube recently, which is don't give up. Don't stop.
Yes.
You know, just keep going. Like the worst things could happen to you, especially as a creative. And you got to remember why you're doing this, and it's for yourself. You know, we want to make money. You know, like obviously I wanted to be a filmmaker because I wanted to move to Hollywood and, you know, become a big time producer. That didn't happen. But like at the heart of it, I still just love telling stories and entertaining people. So you just can't give up.
You know what? Your family's here. I believe in family. Your family's here. And if you go to Hollywood, my uncle's in Hollywood. You know, he was a camera op for Dr. Phil and Oprah. You don't need to be in Hollywood. And I will say, you know, as far as being gut punched, I had one guy break up with me. He did come back. And, you know, so I technically have never lost a single guy in my life, you know, whatever. But the point is, I'm not going to say what year it is so no one can figure it out, but he's the only guy that ever broke up with me. And again, he came back. But the way he broke up with me was basically, I was disabled at the time. I couldn't really walk. I couldn't work a job. I wasn't really doing much with my life at all. And he basically, in so many words, right around Valentine's Day, was like, And he was very successful. You know, he's voted all these different things and like prime multimillionaire, all this stuff, you know, whatever. I don't go for money, but he went after me. Okay. The point is, he basically broke up with me being like, yeah, what are you doing with your life? Even one of the things he said was like, yeah, you're modeling or something, but you're not modeling for Adidas. Like if you're modeling for Adidas or like some $10,000 deal, he's a very superficial, rich, you know, like Elon Musk-y type of guy. And I was just like, I can't walk. I'm in pain every day. I'm disabled. I'm depressed. I just moved back to New York. So I started my life over again after being pretty successful in the fitness industry and not being disabled and being a little conceited and high on my own supply. And it brought me down. But I will say the point is that if I wasn't gobsmacked and just like so feeling like such a loser, I wouldn't have tried so hard back around 2013-ish for that comeback. So it was actually one of the best things that ever happened to me. And again, he came back. So I was like, but whatever. So sometimes I think it might be a good thing if you feel like that in life, that you need to do more.
I said this to my nephew once. I was like, failures are a good, you know, it's a good setup for a comeback.
Yes.
You know, like that's all failure is. It's that, you know, just because you fail in class or at a job or at something you're trying to do doesn't mean it's over. It just means it's time to make a comeback. And everybody loves a comeback story.
And maybe you wouldn't get to level 25 if you weren't knocked down to like level negative 35. So switching gears entirely, now you are the editor of one of the most successful shows on TV, of reality TV also, Southern Hospitality, and also you edited The Housewives of Atlanta for Bravo. I watched a lot of Bravo, mostly Vanderpump, you know, no shade to you and Housewives during the pandemic, eating bowls of cheese just to like forget about the pandemic because I thought I was going to die. You know, I bought into all the BS of the pandemic stuff. So now as far as editing goes, I'm sure there's a lot of nip slips. Like I imagine there's boobs flying all over the place. Like how many nip slips do you think you had to edit out of this Real Housewives alone?
On some shows, on Housewives, yeah. Because the women are very, they got great figures, okay? And they're beautiful women as well. Housewives Atlanta, loved the cast and working, editing that show. A lot of the outfits, very form-fitting, so a nip slip will pop up or, you know, some of the antics that they get into gets a little more, you know, the partying goes hard sometimes. Although they kind of matured a little bit. By the time I edited, but
tell you,
the biggest thing I had to cut around was like a 12-inch
butt
at a bachelorette party. Yeah.
A real one?
Oh, yeah. And there's no blurs on the camera footage, obviously. So when I get the raw footage, I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. And they couldn't.
And a male stripper came and danced around. And I was like, yeah, he's not going to get naked, like, and he got naked.
You don't think it was a prosthetic? Because if I was a male stripper, I would put that on.
That wasn't. I.
No?
Not a prosthetic. That was an impressive.
Well, that's something I've never seen. I don't know if I'll ever see it, but he's seen it, so you could ask him all about it. All right, back to less trashy questions. Now, what's just one more interesting thing about this Bravo editing process that was interesting? To you.
That was interesting to me. That I encountered. Well, one thing was really cool, and I totally wasn't expecting this. This came straight out of left field. And this is actually how I am in an episode of Black Mirror.
Oh,
Rach, I love that show. The second part to the SS McAllister, is it the McAllister? Do you watch it? The space, the Star Trek.
I'm going to be honest with you. I watched one episode and. No shade to Matt Damon. There's a guy who reminded me of Matt Damon, and I just wasn't enjoying looking at it. Yeah. And I just didn't want to watch it, and I just got turned off. Sorry.
The McAllister story with the spaceship and then the people that, like, jack into it. It's a video game. And,
okay.
You know, you jack into it, and, like, these people are trapped in it by this bad guy. So the people on the spaceship, they're watching Real Housewives of Atlanta. Season 14. And I was like, oh, shit, look, they're watching Housewives because I see, like, the bumper come on.
Oh,
and then
cool.
I go to the scene, and I was like, that's my scene. Like I edited, like that's the episode I edited. So
That's cool.
That was like a real straight out of left field. I can't believe this is on Black Mirror. And it's the show, it's the episode that I worked on.
Wow. Okay. And also, sorry, Matt Damon. It really doesn't bring me any joy to insult anyone. And to redeem myself, I'm watching Behind the Candelabra, which is the Liberace biopic, or I can't tell if it's satire or real. I think it's satire. It's insane. But Matt Damon is in it and he's killing it and he's amazing and he's fantastic. And Michael Douglas is in it. If you're not watching this Liberace Behind the Candelabra, I don't know what you're doing. This is fantastic. It's hilarious.
I've seen part
of it. I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh. I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh or I don't know. Back to you, George. What do you have going on creatively, personally, right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've got something in the pipeline. You know, I pivoted to TV editing and film editing. I've edited other independent films for people as the means to like survive as you get older and pay the bills. Yeah. And so I kind of lost control of my own personal projects for a little bit. And every time I tried to write something, I just had a long time of not really loving what I write or following to the end. So just this year, I had not an aha moment, but what I call like a download, where you're just like, the idea just comes to you. Even like not when you're not necessarily at your desk or, it comes to you because even though you've been failing at seeing a project through or you still put the effort in to work. Mm-hmm. The universe sees that and is like, here you go. And they just download.
Yep.
And I call it the download because it's like almost the whole concept just comes into your brain. In that second,
all the time.
And you just see it. So like that kind of happened to me. I went down on this little rabbit hole and came up with this awesome concept for a feature film that I'm currently writing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep the name and the plot to myself just for a little bit because I want to get further along in the script. I'm in the middle of the second draft, so like I'm almost there. As I was writing it, I said to myself, you know what? Now's a good time to just, why don't I document this?
Yes.
Been so long since I've written something that I was really motivated for, and also since I actually created something for myself. I sit in this office 10, 12, 14 hours a day with cameras around collecting dust.
Mm-hmm.
I started recording myself, going through the process, just B-roll, grab the microphone every now and then and just like say what's on my mind and what stage I'm at. And I started posting that on my YouTube channel. Just kind of like documenting the process. And if anyone's out there that cares about it, they can tag along and follow. So
yeah,
that's what I'm working on. It's a self-contained World War II movie.
Oh,
self-contained because it's all takes place in one location at a secret military laboratory during World War II. And it has to deal a lot with the business of war and when like protocol and bureaucracy of the army beats something they can't really contain. There's like a secret experiment going on.
Oh, interesting.
And it deals a lot with grief, duty, and yeah, it's really good. And I'm hoping, I know World War II is ambitious, but everyone, people hear that and they think like beaches and bombs and war. So that's why I think having it self-contained in one laboratory location will help me when it comes time to, you know, start planning how I'm going to make it.
Yeah, one location is, I try to always make the least amount of locations and least amount of people.
Yeah,
just the locations alone can trip you up.
Yeah, you want to do that, especially on a low budget scale. But I think this also lends to the whole story as well, because these people are kind of like locked in this room, this laboratory, dealing with something that they created, and the war is like the backdrop. It's just it's really, I love it. I hope other people love it as well.
Honestly, everything I've seen you do, I think I've really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd say I love everything you do, but I really liked almost everything you've done. It's not boring. Well, the best people do, but maybe I'm really horrible because I like a lot of my stuff. But I also hate a lot of my stuff. So there's a balance. I hate a lot of my stuff. I was just thinking. But anyway, we have a couple minutes left, so I'm gonna get a little woo-woo metaphysical on you. So you said you have like downloads. I totally understand that. I woke up with some of my best jokes in the world, just like
crazy, just in a dream, or it almost feels like someone gave it to me, and then weird things happened and weird synchronicities. You know, I'll mention someone's name and then they'll call me, you know, very specific people. I haven't heard from them in years. Weird things have happened right before people died. I had like 7 people all basically give me the same message to basically make funny videos, and then they died, and maybe I didn't hear from them for 3 years. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. So there's a lot of metaphysical stuff that I've experienced personally. Now, you said you got this download, and I don't think you were around in World War II. Do you think that it was given to you, or do you think it's just coincidence, or do you think there's someone that is like around you that's a ghost? Do you believe in ghosts? Like, what's the deal?
100%, I do. I do believe in ghosts thoroughly. Paranormal and UFOlogy is a strong hobby of mine.
Me too.
So I definitely believe in spirits and all that. Did someone send that to me? Not sure, but I do also believe in the power of the universe. And the more you stay true and honest to it, and you keep pushing yourself through the obstacles, the universe acknowledges that and finally sends you a bone and says, here you go. Yeah. We saw you struggling with X problem. And you ate it for a while, and you probably didn't understand why we put you through it, but you had to go through that, and here you go. Here's the download. So, and you know, like I went on a rabbit hole. I always go on rabbit holes when I'm scrolling and researching ideas and stuff, and I came across one thing that was just really fascinating. And as I got deeper and deeper, it's like in the back of my head, in my subconscious, it was just fleshing out the story. I didn't even know it. So that the next day I woke up and I was just like, that's a movie. And that's a full idea. And then boom, 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 just little by little, the more I sat with it and started taking notes, it just kept coming. Very rarely do you hit that moment where everything jives that you're putting down and everything is tracking. Yeah. But usually there's, you know, weeks of just tinkering and does this work? What if this was just like, no, this, I can't take full credit because I have a colleague, a friend of mine, Jason Rice, who's a screenwriter that did help me with the ending. I have to give him full credit for that, but he thought it was an awesome idea. And then I was just bouncing stuff with him back and forth. And he's like, dude, this is your ending right here. And he threw it on me. I was like, holy I didn't even know that. So it's fun. It's all that stuff comes together. And that's part of why I love doing what we do.
Yeah, no, very cool. I have so many metaphysical stories, but I'm actually waiting till I look a little older to share some. And I'm waiting till things come true. But I've had a lot of, sometimes I'll just ask for something and then within 30 seconds, I'll get it. And like really specific, like even a person's name. It's a little bit weird. Some people around me have a little scared.
The power of intention and positivity is really strong. Yeah. Like I speak to younger people or other people that are just negative and dealing with really trivial problems. And I'm just like, stop dwelling on that. And just
And one quick note, my final thought will be, because we are over time, is that, you know, I've played around with karma. There's a book called Power Karma. My mom sent it to me like 2007. I was like, this lady's crazy. I thought she was dumb or whatever. And, you know, I've played around with it, but there's 2 times in my life, maybe 3, where I've knowingly did bad things. You know, where no one's perfect, but I knowingly knew this was bad. I did at least 3 times, but the one time it was bad, bad, bad. It felt like God, I remember thinking, it feels like God is pissing on me. 3 of my tires popped on my car in a month. I gained 20 pounds. I became disabled. I got leveled. I was getting high on my own supply, and I got leveled. And I do think karma comes for you because, again, I'm not saying I'm a saint, but I'm a pretty great person. I help a lot of people. I don't do too many bad things, but those times I did bad things, it was like instant karma, man. So if you don't want to be disabled and, you know, fat and disgusting and lonely and lose your job and lose your house and lose your car and get your car broken into, maybe don't do bad things. That's my final thought. So, yeah. George, tell us where to find you.
Okay, yeah. Well, since I mentioned that I'm documenting this process as I go along. Yes. You could go to my YouTube channel, The Night Drive channel on YouTube, and you could subscribe and check out all the updates and videos and behind the scenes. I'm not going to say the word behind the scenes coverage of going like the actual process of making an indie film from soup to nuts.
Really cool.
And then I'm on social media also, Night Drive NYC. And love that's it. Where you can find me. I hope you enjoy the ride and look forward to the future.
Love it. Thanks so much for being on It Came From the Radio and back to the studio with Mark Torres for more.
Pratha, if you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.